So we'll get to mock trade deadline part two in a little bit, but with the All-Star Draft happening tomorrow or being released tomorrow, Danny and I wanted to do our own All-Star Draft. We flipped a coin. He is LeBron James and he's got the first pick among the starters. And then I will be Steph Curry. I will have the first pick among the reserves. And we're going to make the assumption here that all of these players are going to actually try. So the idea of like, oh, who would be better in an All-Star game, saying we're forgetting about that. We're pretending that these teams actually are going to play each other, that they actually like have time to prepare. And it's not just like, oh, let's pick all the Warriors because they know each other and they'll win because it's on like a 1 day's notice or something. We're trying to actually make like real NBA teams out of these players. So,
however, I will note that I will make some interpersonal based decisions in my own. As LeBron James, I feel that's what he will and do periodically. It is not the sole determining factor, but it is a part of it.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's true. You got to manage all the personalities. I probably won't think about that as much because I'm a robot. Okay, so Danny, you have first pick here. Whom shall you select?
There are certainly a lot of good options, but what I'm looking for, I want to have the ball in my hands a fair amount, but I also want other players that can score. I think that's the definitive thing in the All-Star game. While people are going to try, they're certainly going to try a whole lot more on offense than defense. And I enjoy putting the knife in a little bit, so I'm taking Kevin Durant.
Yeah, probably the guy that most people would say is at least the third best player in the NBA. So there really already are not very many guys left who can actually guard either KD or LeBron. So I've got Steph Curry. I've got the best offensive player in basketball. I'm going to go with Giannis Antetokounmpo as just one of the few guys left who can guard either KD or LeBron.
That's certainly a fair choice. I kind of assumed you were going to go with one or the other, but that also leaves me with the other guy that I was most interested in of this group, and that is Anthony Davis. I think AD can do a lot of different things out there. He can be a four, he can be a five, gives us a long front court. I think he'll catch a lot of my lobs, and he'll be a part of the team without taking too many touches, though of course we'll give him as many as he wants. Also, it keeps him away from Stephen Curry, which we think is good in terms of them creating a super team with him in 3 years.
Oh man, well, that definitely makes things difficult for me. AD would have been my next pick as well. And I mean, just in terms of athleticism, you know, I'm just not sure how my team is going to catch up at this point. And I think what I'm going to do, I have a very difficult decision right now. I don't want to tell you who the other person I'm deciding is once I select between these two players. I think I'm going to go with Klay Thompson.
You have to take all the starters first. You can't go into the backups.
Oh, shit. That's right. Oh, man. So who the hell is even a starter? I totally even eliminated that. Let me open your list up again here.
Yeah, I created a doc for this.
Oh, man. You know what? Yeah, I guess I still would have taken Giannis anyway. He's a starter. So I had totally forgotten about that. Oh, I totally blew my strategy. Steph Curry would have been more prepared than I was. I think I've already lost here with you getting first pick. So who's left here among the starters? I've got DeMarcus Cousins, DeMar DeRozan, Joel Embiid, James Harden, Kyrie Irving. I think I've just got to go with Harden as just so much better of a player than any of those other guys.
Damn it. That's who I wanted. But that's not a surprise. So then for me, this is one where if it were Danny LaRue choosing rather than LeBron LaRue, I would go with Joel Embiid over DeMarcus Cousins. However, I think LeBron would like to see what it's like to play with DeMarcus Cousins.
Oh, see, yeah, this is no fun though. Like, I wish you would just do it as you know, LeBron LaRue. Because like I want to be able to talk shit to you later if like my team is better, and now you have the excuse of like, oh, I was just trying to make it realistic and be LeBron James. Like, pick your real team, man.
I'll take Joel.
All right. I think that makes it more fun, this, because this is like, people want to know what we think would make the best team. They don't want to like us to simulate what we think LeBron and Steph would do. Like, that's like what you're doing right now, I think, is like, you know, it's the let's figure out who the media is going to vote for MVP instead of saying who we think should be.
So you're talking, you know, mock draft versus draft rankings, basically, is the difference there. Mock draft is prediction, yeah, whereas rankings is who you think is better.
Well, I mean, we're trying to like make a real team as well. So,
sure.
All right. So you've got Joel Embiid. I'm down to, oh, God, having to pick the starters just sucks. Although, actually, this could play into my hands because I get first pick among the reserves. reserves, which
which is very valuable.
So that actually is really valuable. Yeah, I mean, I'm not really very excited about Kyrie, DeMarcus, or DeRozan. I mean, like, I don't think any of those three guys would actually even necessarily be in the rotation for my team. And I've already got Harden. I think I'll go with DeMarcus.
That's a fair choice.
And you could just go ahead and give me DeRozan right now too.
Well, yeah. So that's the difference here. If it were me, I'm taking Kyrie Irving. So that's what we're gonna do. But if we were doing this as kind of like a mock, then I absolutely would not have LeBron taking Kyrie. But for my team, yeah, I'll do that, and that's gonna lead to more flash bulbs and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that would be an incredibly watchable team.
Yeah, I mean, I think LeBron could also just have a vested interest in showing like how he doesn't have a grudge and all. As well. So, all right, I now have DeRozan, and I have first pick of the remaining reserves. So just to go through who we've got there, got LaMarcus Aldridge, Bradley Beal. Actually, it's probably easier to do it by position here. So, this rule about having to pick the starters just sucks. All right, so at point guard, still left, we've got Russell Westbrook, Damian Lillard, and Kyle Lowry.
And John Wall, who I mistakenly forgot to put in originally.
Ah, yes. Okay, I wondered who we were missing. On the wing, we've got Klay Thompson, Victor Oladipo, Bradley Beal, and Jimmy Butler. And then as bigs, LaMarcus Aldridge, Kristaps Porzingis, Al Horford, Draymond Green, Karl-Anthony Towns, and Kevin Love. So of those, there are two players that I am very torn with now, and I already gave away that Thompson would have been my pick. So I will go with Klay Thompson as my first pick. I think he's a very scalable player. He can defend, switch, which is going to be very important, obviously, for this team. And doesn't need the ball to be effective and can space the floor for all the other guys. So I think one of the issues I'm concerned with is just too much usage on these teams. Thompson scales really well in that and is very effective without the ball in his hands, and one of the better defensive players left for it. So I'll go with him.
Klay's a good pick, especially when you think about just all the other usage that you have on your roster. To me, the best player, and especially the guy who's having the best season of everybody on this list, which is who I'm going to go with, is Jimmy Butler. Butler is a wing, which, as we'll notice very, very soon, there are not many of those left. And if we were doing this with a different criteria of just who's going to give the biggest shit in an All-Star game, Jimmy Butler would also be high on that list. But I didn't consider that because you didn't want us to consider it. But I think Jimmy Butler is he's probably going to be more of a second unit guy with this team, but I think it's just a valuable player for me to have.
Yeah, so I'm really, really concerned about my defense in the front court with you taking AD. So I'm going to go with Draymond Green. Again, I've got good warrior chemistry. I mean, that matters still to some degree, though, and also kind of gets the band back together of the fun Warriors before they got KD. So, and I just, I'm going to try and play Green at center. As of right now, he probably would be my starting center. And so I need to be able to defend. I need to be able to get some switching. Like, we're not going to be able to play conventional defense. I'm really concerned about having defensive liabilities on my team. And Green's another unselfish player. He can pass. I'm a little worried about his lack of shooting offensively. But again, there's no one else left on the board. Like, if I didn't get him, like, I just wouldn't have like the quality of defense that I needed in the front court for this team.
My biggest concern, especially with the length that I have on the interior already, what I'm thinking about is really just getting other players on my team who can shoot and maybe do a little bit with the ball in their hands for when a lot of my main guys are out. And for me, the best player out there fitting that bill is Damian Lillard. Lillard can have the ball if he wants to, but he can also defend ones and play off. So he's not perfect on Steph, obviously. But when you're looking at basically him versus Lowry, who can do that to a degree, Westbrook and Wall, Lillard is the best fit there. And I worry that if you took him, I was going to end up with a roster that was kind of out of whack.
Interesting. And also interesting that one Russell Westbrook has now been 12 picks without Russell Westbrook having been selected. So still got four point guards left: Lowry, Wall, Lillard, and Westbrook.
Well, I just took Lillard.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. Yes. And then on the wing, still Victor Oladipo and Bradley Beal. And then at bigs, we've got Horford, Porzingis, LaMarcus Aldridge, Karl Towns, and Love. I think I am torn between two bigs here, and I think I'm actually going to go with Karl-Anthony Towns.
Damn it.
And My reasons for that are twofold. One, he can space the floor. Now I know, like, defensively, I'm definitely concerned. He and Cousins, and Cousins is going to be complaining because he's going to be riding the bench for this squad. Cousins, I think I had him, if like he was in like my bottom three of all the people that I wanted to draft. And then DeRozan was in my bottom one of all the people I wanted to draft. So a little vexing that I was forced to take both of those guys within my first five picks. But nonetheless, Karl Towns, my thinking is he can space the floor, number one, great pick and roll big, number two. And then he's the one guy, I think, that just nobody can stop in the post if you really get it to him. Like, I've yet to see someone who has really been able to give him problems in the post. So I'm going to go with Karl Anthony Towns.
That's disappointing because I think he would have made my team a lot more fun just to have another guy with the abilities that he does. But I'm a little bit worried about you taking Al Horford going forward, and he's a guy who just, there isn't another one who does what he does. So, like, LaMarcus is great. I just don't think LaMarcus is having a very good season, but I don't think he's as good in this format as Horford, who can be he can fit into a lot of different roles. Also, the chemistry with Kyrie Irving, I'm assuming those guys will play a lot together on my team, so you can have them, you get that little bit of continuity. But I think Horford fits with all these guys, really, whatever you want to do. He's not going to be in my closing five, but guess what? I don't think anybody I take from here on out is going to be anyway.
All right, so I probably need another ball handler at this point. I've really only got Curry and Harden. Draymond Green can do that as well, but I'd like to get another point guard in there. And between Westbrook, Wall, and Lowry, I actually think that Lowry works the best here. He's going to play hard. He's probably the best defensive player of those guys because Wall doesn't really try anymore and Westbrook doesn't try. So, and then Lowry, by far the best shooter of those guys. Westbrook and Wall, both guys that you don't really have to guard when they don't have the ball in their hands. And they're both also, like, it was interesting from, I think it was Zach Lowe's column, that Wall spends more time walking or not moving than any other player in the NBA. And Lowry certainly can never be accused of that. So I'm going to go with Lowry just because I think he will defend. He can space the floor, which those other guys can't. And I've got plenty of guys who can create already between Steph and Giannis and Harden. So I'm not as worried about that. I'm just looking more for compliments who are just going to fit at this point.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, the difference between Lillard and Lowry, like that being pretty small, is why I thought about drafting Lillard later, because I thought about taking Towns there and then just to have him. But I thought the difference for my team specifically with having LeBron and having Kyrie and all those, and Jimmy Butler, all those guys, I thought that was there. So that leaves me with an interesting decision. You can kind of go in a couple of big directions here. And the strongest remaining preference for me is, because there are some guys that are similar, like kind of similar skill sets, but so that means that when they duplicate, if you take one, then I'll just take the other. So on that logic, the guy who I think is a little bit more different is Porzingis. You can play him at different spots, and I just think he's a nice fit. I mean, I can play him with a lot of my other bigs. He's been better at the four this year. And so he does something a little bit different than LaMarcus, who's, again, having a nice year, but just isn't as good for this format.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I was hoping, because I was thinking like, oh, maybe Towns is just going to get roasted defensively. And so Porzingis, just play him at center and he could provide a game-changing element, potentially protecting the rim. But with him out, I think because I only have one decent defensive big right now, between Towns and Cousins are not good, and then I've got Green as my only other big who can play any defense at all, I got to go with Aldridge just because I might have to play him as my backup center because Towns and Cousins aren't cutting it. So yeah, LaMarcus Aldridge is my pick now. And I mean, obviously he's not as good of a player on just a normal NBA team as Russell Westbrook is, or, you know, I think he's probably the second best guy remaining just in general. But it just, you know, Westbrook, we have plenty of what he provides. And then again, you know, his limitations off the ball really concerned me. So yeah, LaMarcus Aldridge is where I'm going here.
So now that we're getting close enough to the end, I can tell this piece of strategy. I don't have, especially with the structure of my team, a very strong preference between Victor Oladipo and Bradley Beal. Both guys are fine fits, and my hope the entire time was that you were going to take one and I would just take the other. So I'm going to keep that going, but we're close enough to the end that I can talk about that. And I'm going to go with Russell Westbrook. I think he's a better player than John Wall. Yeah, you have the whole weird Kevin Durant thing. You have the their fun divorces on my team are actually kind of great. Like, you have Westbrook and the Spurn guys are just amazing. You probably want to separate them a little bit, but I just think he adds a little bit more than Wall does. And if we're not talking about the difference of like playing hard because the defensive element of it, John Wall can he can reach a little bit more, even though he doesn't do it on a game to game like he used to. But I'm going to go with Russ because, you know, just another guy who can do more, and I have enough wings, so I don't really need anything other than that.
Yeah, I'm really torn now between Oladipo and Beal. I do want to get one more shooter. I think Oladipo is better defensively. Beal probably scales a little bit more with his shooting. He's more comfortable working off the ball than Oladipo is. I think I probably will just go with Brad Beal. I think the shooting, because, you know, Oladipo's pick and roll ability is probably better than Beal, and he's a little bit better defender. The additional pick and roll ability doesn't really do much for me. I just want a guy, and Beal is a much more established shooter. I think he's going to have more gravity than Oladipo, so I'll go with him. Very tough choice, though. I think Oladipo obviously is having a better season.
Yeah, it's a tough call, and that's why I didn't want to have to make it, so I'm just taking Oladipo now and taking the satisfaction of that. So that leaves you with a fun choice, Kevin Love versus John Wall.
Yeah, I think I'll go with John Wall, just because he can add an element pushing the ball in transition. He can maybe defend a little bit better in short minutes, and, you know, maybe if one of our pick and roll guys goes down or gets in foul trouble or something, it could use a little bit more ball handling. He gives a little bit of a different look than Kyle Lowry, because Lowry is not really that much of a pick and roll guy at this point. He's working more off the ball or just pulling up from three these days instead of getting into the lane and really finding people. So that's my thinking there, and enjoy Kevin Love as the last pick. Did we always think it was going to be Kevin Love as the last pick?
Yeah, probably. I mean, if it in among the reserves, yeah, because especially because a lot of there are guys who can do a little bit more. Like Porzingis can protect the rims so much more that's a value there. I mean, if some of the starters have been eligible, it might have been a little bit different. Do we want to run through our teams?
Oh, absolutely. Here, yeah, let's I guess we'll say who our like enforced starters are, and then we can just talk about what like our real rotation would be. Yeah, dude, like Cousins and DeRozan are getting like the Andrew Bogut, Derek Favors, like you're coming out after like 2 minutes. and there's no and
well, no. So let's do this.
Let's have to start the second half. Right?
Here's how we start this. What is your closing five? Assuming it's a close game.
Okay. All right. Steph Curry is going to be in there. Giannis is going to be in there for sure. Oh man, I think I would go like the Warriors three. Giannis. So Green, Thompson, Curry, Giannis. And then I think it would vary based on the matchups. Like I might go with James Harden. I think probably would have to go with James Harden just to get more offense on the floor. His isolation ability this year in switches has been fantastic. If I wanted to get a little more, I mean, the problem is just like a lot of it's going to be matchups with your team too. I mean, you just between like LeBron and KD, I mean, that's just so hard to deal with. I think like you're definitely going to have like more talent in your closing five than I am. I'm just hoping that like the fit is going to trump yours. So probably, yeah, I think that would be it would be Curry, Harden, Thompson, Giannis, and Draymond. I mean, that's just a small ass team though. I mean, like we're gonna get like dominated physically, and like I wish I had like AD is the guy who is like the swing here for me, of just like the real two-way center size guy that my team just doesn't have.
So obviously LeBron, Durant, and Davis are in my 5-5. I'm anticipating Embiid wouldn't be, just because I don't think we need what he brings defensively. I think AD, you know, it's kind of a hat on a hat with him.
Yeah, I've got Harden, I've got Curry, like Embiid is not gonna be able, and I've got Thompson, like Embiid's just not gonna be able to match up on the
right
perimeter with that level of shooting.
So instead, Jimmy Butler is gonna be out there for me. I think that's just so many kind of wing-sized guys out there. Then the last spot could go in a million different directions. Tentatively, Kyrie, just because his ability to create one-on-one when things break down is there, but you could go, I mean, I could go even with Oladipo if I wanted somebody who's a little bit bigger. I mean, I could go a million directions with that last spot.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting of what your last spot would be. I mean, you have a massive drop off after your...
After my top four, kind
of. Top four, yeah. I mean, in terms of, like, versatility. I mean, you might even, like, Al Horford might
could
even
be
your guy.
Yeah.
Although, yeah, like, he and AD together, I don't know about that. I guess you really got to play LeBron at the four. So, yeah, you don't, like, it's tough to say, like, you need someone who can defend a little bit more in the background. That's why I was so keen on Thompson, because he's just the, like, as the fifth guy on these teams, teams. He's just like the combination of like not taking anything off the table for the other players and probably being the best defensive guy of outside of like the top eight. It was irresistible. I think he's like, crazy as it is to say, I think just in this particular setting with all this talent, like he's, you know, that's why I picked him when I did. I think he's probably like the seventh or eighth most valuable guy in this exercise when you've got so much talent on the floor.
I think he might even be sixth. I mean, Steph, LeBron, KD, Giannis, AD. I think you have those guys at the top. But then
I tried to pick him over Harden, didn't I? Yeah. He was going to be my third pick. I had Steph Curry, Giannis, and then I was going to get Thompson.
And you could make an argument in certain circumstances with it over AD just because there are so many other bigs. Like you can get 80% of what Davis does more than 80% of Klay Thompson. But I still think AD is just his individual brilliance is, I mean, just to have him out there.
All right. Well, we'll of course, I think when these come out, we'll post it on Twitter and we'll just do it. Let's do it as a poll. I don't think we've ever done a Twitter poll before of like whose team would win. So DeMarcus and DeRozan are getting the Keith Bogans. I mean, what are some of your bench lineups going to look like then? I mean, who are your guys who are going to play and who's going to not play? Like, I guess that's where to start with. It's like, who's going to kind of be out of the rotation for you?
So I actually think I'd consider playing my main guys largely together unless Kyrie just complains too much about not getting the ball. And then I would run 2 point guards on the second unit. So Russ and Lillard are probably what it would be. And then Butler is going to be closing, so he'll kind of be bouncing between. Porzingis is definitely going to play. Horford's definitely going to play. So I might actually not run many wings because I don't really have that many on my second unit. Victor Oladipo would be more a gap filler in that sort of a sense. But yeah, I think it would mostly be Lillard, Russ, Butler when he's not with the starters, Horford and Porzingis.
Yeah, so Cousins and DeRozan would be out of my rotation. They just don't try hard enough on defense. I think Wall would also probably be just more of a break glass and type of emergency type of point guard. So that would leave me, I mean, I might even just start Towns or Aldridge, especially if you're, or not start, but like, you know, have them start the second half once I actually have some autonomy here. I probably would actually start Aldridge in the second half and then, you know, use Towns more as like a bench center, someone who could match up. Or actually, no, I think I would go with Towns in the starting lineup to make Embiid guard him if you were going to start Embiid. But yeah, I mean, it's tough for me to start Clay at the three, Draymond at the five. You know, that might be asking them to play up for an entire game is a little bit much. So I might have to start with some more traditional bigs. But I think my rotation would basically be Steph, Giannis, Harden, Thompson, Green, Towns, Lowry, and Aldridge. And then Aldridge would probably play the least out of those guys. I would get some significant time with Green at center as well, and that's probably how we would close it.
It'd be fun.
Well, so who would be the guys who would be out of your rotation?
Love and Oladipo just don't really have much of a place. If you ran a different structure, they could do it. And then as a practical matter, I think Russ probably just wouldn't be out there very much because he doesn't provide much that is needed on this team. But there are certain circumstances where just his jolt of athleticism could be valuable.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've definitely got some harder to manage personalities.
Oh my God.
Over the course of a season. I mean, both the interpersonal dynamics and also just people who just would not fucking be cool with sitting. I mean, Russell Westbrook being a bench guy, like he would just like run through the wall of the arena.
He and Kevin Love could hang out. They could talk about their college days together on the bench.
Yeah, and Kyrie too. He would never accept like
being your fifth option.
Like the greatest thing ever. Yeah, I mean, whereas for me, like, you know, really the only guy that I would be concerned about or two that I would be concerned about are former college teammates DeMarcus Cousins and John Wall. Wait, were they teammates?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, in 2010.
Yeah. Well, and DeRozan, if you're not going to play him at all.
Well, but DeRozan, he's been like a bench guy on Team USA before.
That's true.
He was actually able to handle that okay. And DeMarcus like had some times where he was a little bit of a bench guy, but Wall would definitely be pissed, I think. Especially like being behind someone like Lowry, who he probably
considers himself. Wait, you mean your team has the best backcourt in the NBA and also Steph Curry and Klay Thompson? I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing here would be just like whose team had the most weaknesses.
Wait, I just realized your team has three complete backcourts on it. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, I tried to get a little bit more.
I like that.
Oh, like, oh, of,
Lowry, DeRozan, Curry, Thompson, and Beal Wall.
Yeah, Wall and Beal look great in garbage time for me. Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even think of that aspect of it. So yeah, and I think like really the biggest vulnerability for both of our teams would be Steph Curry on defense for me, and you know, Kyrie or Lillard or whoever on defense.
My whole team murdering each other? That's probably my biggest concern.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, so I will say one thing just because we're not going to use it. I was originally, because I was going to do this as LeBron, I had a whole thing worked out. And what I was going to do when we got to the reserves was I was going to pick Paul George and Chris Paul and then be infuriated that they didn't make the team as a showing of respect for my guys. It was going to be a whole thing.
Yeah, Chris Paul definitely would be much more welcome on this team than, like, you know,
he'd be my fifth guy. I probably would have taken him.
Sure.
Well, you wouldn't have taken him over Clay, though, would you?
No, I wouldn't have, because I already have Steph. But yeah, you'd absolutely take him over Kyrie in a second.
Oh yeah,
because he's just so much better defensively.
Well, yeah, and he can scale. Like, I mean, just the ability to.
And Paul George would have probably been a top 10 pick in this too. I would have picked him over Jimmy Butler probably even.
That would have been close, he fits better.
He's just another guy who can scale. Like, Butler's just not shooting well enough from 3-point range this year, and he really likes the ball. I mean, if you just look at like Team USA 2016, like Butler hardly played, and George was like, you know, should have been starting.
That's true.
All right, this was fun. Actually, I'm really looking forward to doing this again next year now. But yeah, we'll post this on Twitter, or you can, if you already have it in your mind, if you want to tweet at us whose team you think would be better.
Don't hurt Nate's feelings too badly. And we actually did flip a coin for first pick. I genuinely did that.
Yeah. Really quickly here, because we never really talked about either the starters or reserves. Are there any like picks that you really? I mean, the starters, obviously, we kind of made it clear who we disagree with here, just by the way we've picked these teams. But in terms of like snubs, is there anyone you think should have made it over the guys that did?
So your point on this is always that if you're going to pick a guy who should be in, you have to pick a guy who should be out. And
oh, of course. And, yeah, I mean, that was,
yeah, of course.
That's just kills me all the, like, especially now that players like tweeting like, oh, I can't believe I was snubbed. It's like, all right, man, but like, who are you better? You know, like, and it's, especially when it's kind of ridiculous.
To me, Chris Paul has been the third best guard in the Western Conference this year.
Yeah.
And so you can put him over Lillard, you can put him over Clay. Both of those guys, to me, he jumps them in. And so with Paul George, so I probably would have put him over Lillard and then kept, because also there's a value to being at a different position. And Lillard.
Oh, and by the way, this is now for who should make the team. Totally different exercise than what we just did.
Right.
About, like, you're trying to put a team together.
Absolutely.
Of 12 dudes. So just to be clear, we're talking about something different now here.
Right. So to me, that's the most egregious. Like, that's the one that I try not to care about All-Star, but that does bother me. And also, All-Star is weird because it's not just about like, oh, who's the better player, who's having the better season, because you have career stuff and all that. And Chris Paul has all those arguments too, because he's a Hall of Famer, he's an amazing point guard and all that kind of stuff. So I think he was clearly the most egregious for me. And then in the Eastern Conference, I thought Kemba deserved it. I thought that, you know, he's having a really nice year. I would have put him in over either Beal or Wall. And I would say for me, so I think Beal's having the better season, but it is not just a who is having the better season thing. So I would have had probably Kemba and Wall, but between those two guys, I don't really care too much.
Yeah, I think I would have gotten Kemba also. Wall is really like quietly having quite a down season,
right?
Statistically, Kevin Pelton thought that maybe Andre Drummond should have made it. I just don't think Drummond is that good.
The hard thing with Drummond is, like, theoretically, his argument is defense, but I mean, they're 12th in defense this year. They haven't been, last time I checked, they haven't been markedly better when he's been on the floor. So I just don't really see it with Drummond in that way. For personally, if he was more dominant, if he was what we thought he would be defensively, then yeah, by all means. But that isn't who he is.
Yeah, no, I would say I would have Drummond well below Beal, Wall, and Walker. And Ben Simmons has probably dropped off too much.
Oh, yeah, he's out.
Standpoint. What about in the West?
So, Paul...
I mean, we talked about Paul. Paul would be in, so who would be out for you in the West?
Dame would be out. And then, to me, Paul George versus Klay Thompson, I don't have a strong preference either way. I would say that George has maybe been a little bit better this season, but it's hard because they play such different roles offensively. Like, Klay does a better job of what he has to do, but that's because he has an easier job.
Yeah. I mean, George is just having a down year. I think we know that he's a good player, but he just has not been efficient enough offensively to me. And Towns, probably, you know, the way he's played, for the usage hasn't been high enough for him, and he's gotten better on defense, but still, you know, that first month and a half of the year counts.
And I would not have had Lou Williams in. I mean, maybe in the Eastern Conference you can make a different argument, but in the West, hell no. Also, oh, that's one point I should make. It is completely ludicrous that if they're doing it the way that they are, that they still have the reserves by conference, because deserving guys got left off of this list because of they held that structure.
Yeah, I would have had Dame and Thompson still in. I would have had George out. Paul would have been in for me. Towns would have been out.
Oh, so you would have been guard heavy. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, although maybe I'm trying to think if that even would have been possible.
Yeah, but Jimmy Butler would have counted as a front court guy. Oh, but you have Russell Westbrook in still, of course.
Yeah, I do, yeah. Yeah, and Draymond is close to me, actually. Like, he has not been as good this year.
Yeah, just as a thought experiment, how I did this was I had the no-brainers where it was like there's no reasonable argument against having them on the team.
Yeah.
So for me, that was Westbrook and Butler in the West for two different reasons. And then in the East, it was Oladipo and Horford. Just they've had better seasons than the guys above them. And then for me, the next tier in the West was Chris Paul and LaMarcus Aldridge. So that's why Chris Paul not making it was so egregious. And then for me, everybody else in the West was on the borderline. And then in the East, the next tier was Love, Kemba, Porzingis, and Lowry for me. And then after that, I didn't really care a whole lot.
Yeah. No, I mean, the last few in the West were brutally hard. The one guy who's really being talked about and considered that I would not have there is Jokic. He's missed a few games, and also just, you know, the defense is just not good. He's just not aggressive enough. He's not consistent enough on a game-to-game basis. Yet he's just not close to the level of player that the rest of these guys are to me. And yeah, you know, I know there's some advanced numbers that really like him, and I'll give him some credit for kind of looking like he's more than meets the eye. But to just say that he's on the level of these other guys in terms of like building a team around, I don't believe that to be true. All right. Stay tuned here for part two of the mock trade deadline right after this. So that draft was pretty awesome. We really enjoyed it. I didn't think it would be that fun, but it was. And it's a great advertisement for you to be able to do your own draft with accurately named Draft. It's daily fantasy basketball, but it's a snake draft rather than creating your lineup out of a salary cap league. And that means that it's much harder for the pros to just price out people who want to just have some fun with daily fantasy, because each draft takes 2 to 3 minutes. If you want to just do a lineup or two, it doesn't take that long. But if you're one of these people who's doing like 500 lineups and trying to make this your profession, you can't really do drafts. So you're going against a lot more people who are just kind of doing this for fun instead of making this daily fantasy their entire lives. These drafts start from just $1. So there's a draft for everyone, but you could win some cold hard cash and really enjoy yourself rooting for your players throughout the night. So come and play a draft today. You can download the app by just searching Draft in whichever app store, or draft.com right from your computer works as well. And you can let them know that you came from us and get a free entry into the draft when you make your first deposit by using my promo code CAPSPACE. That's right, play a real money game for free using my promo code CAPSPACE on your first deposit, and that'll let them know that you came from us. Welcome back to part two of the mock trade deadline, joined by Kevin Pelton of ESPN, Dan Feldman of NBC, Danny LaRue of many things, including very often this podcast. And before we get rolling, let's catch you up on what happened in part one. We started off just by going through all 30 of our teams and saying what they're trying to accomplish. I've got roughly the East sellers, the teams at the lower part of the Eastern Conference. Dan has the East buyers, teams at the top of the Eastern Conference, maybe looking to acquire players. Danny has the West buyers, and KP has the West sellers. The negotiations kicked off with Cleveland trying to move the Brooklyn pick. They didn't find something that they really liked that moved the needle there, especially with LeBron James not willing to commit to re-sign it in Cleveland. They ended up finding a taker for Kevin Love, however. Cleveland moved Kevin Love and Derrick Rose to Detroit for Avery Bradley, Tobias Harris, and Detroit's 2019 second round pick. That helped Detroit fix some of their tax problems going forward. They didn't have to worry about re-signing Avery Bradley. And meanwhile, Cleveland picked up some defense and a little more switchability with Tobias Harris, and that Detroit second rounder will surely help them maybe get out of some luxury tax bills in the future. the Hornets were nearing an agreement to trade Kemba Walker until owner Michael Jordan intervened and demanded that they get an all-star back in exchange. That, of course, was not realistic. And so after much consternation, Kemba Walker was not able to be traded despite some potential to those talks. The Clippers made some half-hearted attempts to move DeAndre Jordan, weren't really even interested in trying to move Lou Williams at all. Their main goal was trying to get off of Danilo Gallinari and open up cap space for the summer of 2018, maybe try and lure LeBron James or Paul George, but they weren't really able to get off of Gallo's salary. He's got 2 years left after this one at more than $20 million per season. Chicago actually found it relatively easy going in moving Nikola Mirotic to Utah. They had to pick up his team option for next year at a little over $13 million to do so, but they're able to trade away Mirotic, not take on any long-term salary, to Utah, getting back Joe Johnson and a protected first rounder, lottery protected in 2018, probably will not go this year with the Jazz, unlikely to make the playoffs. Then protected 1 through 10 in 2019, 1 through 5 in 2020, 1 through 4 in 2021. And if it does not convey by that point, it turns into 2021 and 2022 second round picks. So now let's get into what I think is perhaps the more interesting part of this, even though some of the big names are off the table now, just to see what's out there in terms of moving some money around, who wants to get some young prospects, what's going to happen with all the salary cap space, who's willing to take on some bad money, who's trying to improve as well. I think you'll really enjoy part two. Here we go. And also worth noting here that as we were recording part one, news of the Sacramento Kings and Cleveland Cavaliers discussions involving George Hill were reported. We make the assumption going forward here that that trade is going to happen. And as reported, there's supposed to maybe be some other considerations that they're working on. But as reported, George Hill going from Sacramento to Cleveland, Iman Shumpert and Channing Frye going back to Sacramento. So that is now part of Cleveland's roster for our purposes as we go forward here.
As the Denver Nuggets, I would like to talk to the Brooklyn Nets.
Nets here.
So we have a couple of different things that we're interested in with you, and so we need to gauge what you're feeling like. And so I'll just run them down, basically. One is Spencer Dinwiddie. Spencer Dinwiddie, we think, would be a nice fit as our third guard, so we are absolutely not going to pay like a starting price for him to get him back, but we think he'd be a good fit. We don't know how you're feeling about adding 2018-19 salary. And then, so if you want, and then we also don't know how you're feeling about Damari Carroll. We're not looking to swap Damari Carroll for Wilson Chandler. We would be interested in maybe another option there. So basically what we wanted to talk with you about is we can make a small deal, we can make a big deal, but we think that something involving Dinwiddie, we have a multitude of young players that we think actually would fit really well with your team. So why we wanted to have this as an early conversation is it can be as small or as big as you want, and it might affect the way that you think about some other stuff as the Brooklyn Nets and as we as the Nuggets, because we have so many other young assets.
Yeah, I think if you want to make me a specific proposal for Dinwiddie, you know, I mentioned that he could be available. I mentioned that Damari Carroll could be available if you want to take back bad salary. But, you know, I mean, we're going to need some assets there, starting with, a Juancho Hernangómez is someone that we could have some interest in here. If you want to throw him in, we would be interested in Malik Beasley as well. And of course, you know, your first rounders, notably outside on that list is Tyler Lydon.
What about Emmanuel Mudiay? Is he some, where would he fit within it? Like, so if you want to rank Juancho, Mudiay, Beasley, how would you rank those three?
Mudiay we're not interested in because we already have D'Angelo Russell. He's a really bad fit with him. So I can't say that he moves the needle. He probably actually makes enough to that, you know, he's not even really that great of an asset at this point. So, I mean, what are you really trying to do here? You're trying to move salary and pick up Dinwiddie at the same time?
If we can, but if all we can do is get Dinwiddie, if that's all we can agree to, we can make that trade as well. That's why it can be scalable. So we would, yeah, in an ideal trade for us, we would love to, and we could even include some of the guys that you, unless you were in love with the players you acquired from the 76ers, we would love to do like a first round pick and maybe one of these young players if you're willing to take on. We think Kenneth Faried would be a great fit for you guys, just as another center, just a perfect, you know, hardworking part of your culture, can be a centerpiece there. So something like that where we unload money, then the first round pick becomes available. If we are not unloading future salary, then we are not willing to do it. And of course, if you want a Mason Plumlee return, we can facilitate that.
that instead.
Tim Connelly, what has come over you here? I never would have thought that you would be willing to part with Mason Plumlee so soon. No, I think, look, we think that Carroll has a lot of value. You know, we don't really, he's important for us as far as ballast. Are there any other teams out there? I mean, I think Dinwiddie is a little bit too far down the pecking order for us to talk about right now. Maybe we can revisit these discussions, Denver.
Sure, that's fine. We just wanted to have it in the back of your mind as you're going through this.
Okay. How about some teams that are trying to just get off of salary here? The good teams that would be interested in for the Nets, Damari Carroll, and you know, that would be a big one. He's a guy who's not great salary, but he can play a lot better than presumably whoever you're going to send back. And we'd like to pick up a first round pick in the deal. Portland, you got any interest?
It's intriguing, but I don't think we're interested right now. I mean, you know, we're very committed to Evan Turner, clearly. And at this point, we can't find minutes even for Maurice Harkless. So, you know, I don't know that we necessarily need another player in that spot who's of a similar ability. If we could upgrade that, it would be different.
Oh, really? You don't think Carroll is way better for you than Turner would be?
Again, we think differently of Evan Turner than maybe the other observers might think of Evan Turner. That's why we signed him to the contract we did.
All right, so really nobody interested in doing that type of a deal right now. Man, this is not a ton of
fireworks. Pistons here.
Yes,
Pistons
yes.
Here. We would be interested in something along the lines of John Luehr and Stanley Johnson for Damari Carroll and one other small asset to bring back. We think Stanley Johnson is just a little bit too much of a sweetener for that deal. So if you send us back something small, we could be in range.
Yeah, well, basically, I mean, Luehr, I'm looking at him as totally dead salary. He's got 2 years left at $10 million per. Carroll only has 1 year after this at about $14 million. So you're asking me to take on another $10 million of Luehr's salary, plus, you know, Carroll can still play and Luehr can't for next year. I'm not sure that Stanley Johnson is quite enough coming back from you guys. I mean, Johnson is, you know, he's got a career PER of like 8. You know, I mean, I know he's got some potential and he's a young guy. We'd like to get him into our culture, but I think if anything, you guys would have to give up a little bit more there.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, worth a shot.
You know, while the Blazers have the Nets on the line, I know this is a departure, but are you guys interested in Noah Vonleh?
Yeah, real interested in the cash and asset that you can send with Noah Vonleh for us to take him.
I mean, we were hoping to do this using just cash, given that, you know, Vonleh can be a useful player. He started for us in the playoffs last year, and, you know, we identified you as a team with cap space that has a bit of a hole at power forward and could maybe, you know, use him behind Rondae Hollis-Jefferson.
Yeah, we see him more as a center in our system. And also he's a restricted free agent as well, whom we would have to re-sign. Not a guy who we expect there to be interest for, but still, you know, at the very least, we can get another qualifying offer. I mean, for us, our plan is we want to get worse next year, and then we want assets that are going to help us going forward. I'm not sure that Vonleh does that. I mean, it's always nice to make a little cash, but we might be able to do a little bit better there. You know, I think there are plenty of teams out there that are trying to get off of money where we could pick up a real asset instead of cash. So we're not at the point yet, and this goes for all my teams, where we're just willing to accept cash to take a guy on. We still want some kind of assets for some of these guys.
New Orleans here, we're conceptually interested in something involving Omer Asik and Damari Carroll, but the problem is we don't think that we're not saving much money in that deal, and so we don't think the difference between them is worth a first round pick. So do you think there's something there maybe involving like Jared Allen or just one of your other intriguing young players that could kind of fill that gap? Because again, we're not saving much, but it would make us better.
What if you throw in Ajinsa as well? Asik and Ajinsa for Carroll and a first round pick.
So you mean we're giving up the first round pick. Now see,
yes.
The problem there is then we're basically that's pretty neutral for us in terms of money. And that's a little bit too rich. If you would do that, and maybe if you'd throw in Jared Allen, then maybe we could consider it. But
we really like Jared Allen. I think, you know, now if you guys had any,
what about Rondae?
Carroll is like the closest thing to a 3-and-D guy you guys have had. I think he would really, really help you guys. And I mean, and you're getting off of, I mean, if you look at it as you're getting off of basically $30 million in dead money, right? No,
well,
it's a little less than that.
I don't consider this year as being much because we're underneath the tax. So I think of it more as about $18 million for next year, you know, for the next 2 years after that. And we're getting back a lot. And if, you know, if DeMarcus Cousins resigns, which we're hoping that he will, then we're getting perilously close to the luxury tax next year. And while we think Damari is a wonderful fit for what we're doing, so you wouldn't be willing to include like Rondae Hollis-Jefferson or somebody like that? He's going to be expiring next year, and then he's going to get paid a bunch of money. So
you want Carroll and Jefferson. I think Rondé's been a big part of our culture.
What about Karis LeVert? Like one of basically.
Yeah, I mean, we've got so much young talent here. I mean, it's gonna be tough. I mean, if you wanted us to send back, I mean, even our second rounders are gonna be pretty valuable.
What about Joe Harris?
Yeah, now we're talking. Yeah, I think if we could send you back Joe Harris, he's gonna be a free agent next year. So Carroll and Harris for Ashik Ajinsa and a first rounder. And I mean, is that a basic construct, assuming we could work out the protections?
Yeah, I think that's a basic construct that can really help us. So what we're thinking on this is, how about, could we do kind of reverse protections on it? So you get it if it's a play, if we make the playoffs this year, and then we do lighter protections after that.
Yeah. So I mean, lottery protected this year, and then like top 10 protected the year after that, and then maybe top 4 protected the year after that,
and then reverts to 2 second rounders.
Yeah.
Lottery, yeah, 10, 4, fine. 2 seconds.
Yeah, I think that's not bad. Actually, could we give us another year though of the top 4 protection?
No.
I mean, it's hard to not ever face not ever getting the pick, and you know, you could lose Anthony Davis and then be like right in that lottery. I mean, you're not going to be.
And now you know why we're talking about not doing that part of this.
Well, but you're not going to be in the top 4 under this new format 2 years in a row.
Well, so
right?
You're talking lottery 10-4 and then done, and then it resolves at that point. If adding another year just means it makes it more complicated for us.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the 2 seconds would at least be good.
Yeah,
if it's a protection.
Four.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. All right. We'll do it. All right. Come on down. We got it done. Wow. An actual trade. Amazing. What a deadline this has been.
What do you guys think of that? That was something that kind of came off the top of my head, but I thought it made sense.
Yeah. I mean, I think that both of you guys made strong points. I mean, the tax does become a bit of an issue for the Pelicans going forward, but Carroll is such an upgrade there. And you get the combination of both the, I think it's something we've talked about many times in the past, that if you can, the way you get to a first round pick is to not just take back salary, but also give up someone who can play as well.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think Carroll and Harris are such good fits in New Orleans. That was the place their value would be maximized. It makes a lot of sense.
All right, we got that one written down here.
Also, I'm excited because wasn't it been like 3 mock trade deadlines in a row that the Pelicans have been trying to offload Ashik to Brooklyn?
Pretty much.
I mean, finally made it happen.
But usually, I think it was Feldman. I can't remember when.
Oh, that's great. So, of course, I am indebted to Dan and KP for being on this show. And so, if I wanted to send them a gift to thank them, stamps.com is a great way to do that. Danny has been using stamps.com a ton to send out copies of his book. It's open all the time. So, if you're a night owl like me, you don't have to worry that the post office is closed. You create your stamps.com online account in minutes. That lets you print official U.S. postage for any letter or package or any class of mail, and then the mailman will just pick it up. So you don't have to leave your office. You don't have to leave your home. In my case, they'll even send you a digital scale that calculates exact postage, and they have postage discounts that you can't get at the post office. It's a fraction of the cost of super expensive postage meters. So if you have any kind of a job or a business where you need to send a lot of stuff through the mail, stamps.com is far superior to just going through the USPS, waiting in line at the post office. Right now, you can enjoy their service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus postage and a digital scale. All you got to do is click on the microphone at the top of that stamps.com homepage, type in CapSpace, our familiar code. Easy to remember, we talk about CapSpace all the time in the program. That's stamps.com. Enter CapSpace at the top of the homepage and let them know that you came from us. Why don't we do Tyreke Evans now? That's one that we should get a deal done with that one. We don't have to beat around the bush too much there.
Yeah, Wizards, you want to make an offer here?
Oh, we sure do. Here's our offer, okay? Jason Smith, Tim Frazier, Chris McAuliffe, and Sheldon Mack, plus our first round pick. We want some protections in there as a just in case thing, but this clearly, like, it'll be like lottery protector or something like that. For Tyreke Evans and James Ennis.
All right, that doesn't sound bad, but my concern right now is I'm taking on 4 players and giving up 2. That means I have to cut 2 players, and I'm giving up, you know, the expiring contracts. I mean, I guess Mario Chalmers we can cut without too much trouble, but I think we're going to have to at least take.
Well, couldn't you add Mikola and then cut him?
But we have to make roster spots for all of these guys, so we'd have to cut two players.
I think Danny's saying is you'd only have to. So if you cut
trade for Mikola first,
and then trade for Mikola, then
I see what you're saying. Do these all as separate deals?
Right. So yeah.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense since we're just going to cut all these guys anyway. How does this change?
And we're not right at the deadline yet, I guess. we're not under that much time pressure. There's time to do all this because you'd have to like clear waivers. I'm not sure actually if the league would be okay with that necessarily all like being agreed to ahead of time, but we'll be okay.
We didn't agree to it. We just we're discussing what we would do if that happens.
Okay, well, and that's fine anyway. I mean, we don't have to get into the minutia that much. I think one or two roster slots of unimportant players, we don't have to go crazy with those.
Okay, so we're adding Ennis?
Should we talk about if anybody else has a good offer for Ennis? I know I'm not thinking through my teams right
well,
now.
Well, now let's do Evans first here because so
we're the Wizards are trying to trade for both. And if we're giving up our first rounder, we want both.
The trade machine says this has reduced the Grizzlies by 14 wins according to their own John Hollinger. Oh, no.
Do they even have 14 wins to reduce?
You would wonder. This is Smith, McCollum, Mac. Is Meeks in there? Am I missing anyone?
Did you get Tim Frazier?
Frazier as well? Okay.
Yeah. Would you take Meeks? I just kind of figured that was a bridge too far.
Yeah, we'd certainly prefer not to, given that he's got some money for next year.
Right.
Or in any other interest in Tyreek Evans having
I don't think
all-star caliber season.
He would make sense for Miami, but I don't think we can find a way to give you a first-round pick, unfortunately, given how impacted our first-rounders are from the Goran Dragic trade. The first first-rounder that we could trade would be 2023, and that's just, I don't think we're willing to do that. We already have so few. So, I mean, if there's anything else that you might be interested in, you know, like a Rodney Magruder or Okara White, and you wouldn't have to take back any bad salary, at least, and we could throw in second-rounders that we don't have for a long time.
Yeah, I don't think so right now. Washington, would you be able to throw in $1.5 million to cover the difference in cash the remainder of the year?
Do we definitely have that available?
This could fall apart quickly with these two cheap-ass teams.
I kind of hope we don't have it available so I can more easily say no, because I might say no anyway.
Shockingly, we have
paid zero cash so far, so we haven't.
Yeah.
But think about all the money you're saving, Washington. You're saving a lot more money than that in this deal.
Right. Yeah, we could do that. So I don't think this gets us completely out of the tax, which we're fine with. We think it sends a nice signal to our players that we're committed to winning and willing to pay the tax. We just don't want to pay too much of it. This gets our tax bill down. We would do that.
Trading a quarter of your roster sends the signal.
Well, those aren't the players we're trying to signal to.
I know. All right. Well, unless there's any other interest in Evans or I guess James Ennis.
Yeah. But Spurs got any interest in Tyreek Evans?
I mean, it sounds like they're getting a serious return on this. And San Antonio, I mean, we don't really have much in the way of matching salary that's particularly great here. So, like, I think this becomes a much more complicated deal for Memphis. And our first round picks are golden. And we never make any mistakes with those, so.
I mean, I guess it's true that they didn't use a first-round pick to acquire Joffrey LeVert.
They didn't have to. They had to give him a player option instead. Joffrey LeVert is on the block.
Yeah, I mean, there are no other buyers that are interested in Tyreek Evans. Is it just a question of being able to beat that deal? Is that the issue?
Yeah, I have a lot. So I have the West buyers, and a lot of my teams just don't really have the right filler salary or the assets. So it's, I mean, OKC, sure. I mean,
he's making $3 million bucks. Like, you know, I guess it's just a question of the first rounder. But if you'd be willing to give up a late first rounder for him, and then you don't have to make them take salary, that would presumably be a superior offer, right, Memphis?
Yep.
I don't think any of my teams really fit.
The Celtics are debating whether they would do that.
Oh, with the disabled player exception?
Right. I suppose our worst first rounder is our own.
Which isn't as good as Washington's.
Yeah, but you don't have to take back the bad salary, which in Memphis probably matters.
Yeah, but we're getting the salary covered, if assuming the Wizards are willing to throw in this cash.
Those are all expiring contracts. It's just the relief this year.
Yeah,
we have to cut Brandon Wright and Smith. Oh, we are stuck with Smith next year?
Yeah.
That's 5.45.
You know, I think he, he's going to pick up that player option. That's possible. Slight risk there.
All right.
So would you prefer that package from the Wizards for the better pick? I mean, that would cut my deliberations and make it much easier.
I mean, the $1.5 million is not inconsequential. We're about, assuming we stretch him, we're about $14 million under the tax for next year. So, but we're not going to have bird rights on anyone at this point. We're going to have either traded or cut everyone who is an expiring contract. So it's, you know, we're basically just using the mid-level next year. So it's not a huge deal. I think we'd probably just rather have the better pick.
Okay. So yeah, so that Boston's interested, but not going to be able to beat that.
All right, so we're done then. What are the final parameters on that one?
And that's your 2018 first-round pick, Washington?
Yes, lottery protected.
That's less interesting.
I said lottery protected from the start.
Oh, no, I'm just, but maybe for Pelton, because then that takes out some of the, is it unprotected the second year?
Yeah, what's the further protection here?
We'll leave it lottery protected for the, till the end, and then...
the end of time.
Well, the 7 years. Lottery protected. And then... I mean, I'd like to say that it converts to 2 second rounders. Is that going to be a deal breaker? Like, the Wizards are going to make the playoffs in the next 7 years.
I would imagine so. I don't think that's a deal breaker.
Yeah, yeah. I feel nervous about doing a minor trade like that with such a terrible downside, but it's not going to matter either way. They'll make it this year. You'll get the pick this year.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about that.
Great.
I got to say, I hate that trade for the Wizards.
Really? So I'll give you my rationale first, and you tell me why you hate it.
Well, here's why. The biggest reason I hate it is because they're not going to be able to re-sign Tyreek.
Probably not, but there's value in getting off that money and reducing the tax bill. And so you make this push this year, and they're going to be in a tough spot financially next summer. And so, you know, maybe that's the time where you give up some asset to move Mahinmi or Gortat or something bigger, and it opens the door for re-signing Tyreek. And if it doesn't, that's okay too. And same with Ennis.
Yeah, I guess they do get Ennis. I forgot about that part of it, that he was involved too. So yeah, all right, I don't hate it as much anymore. Sorry.
It's also impressive for Grunfeldman to get
that's great.
To trade a first round pick for talented players on expiring contracts that they're not going to be able to re-sign, because that would be the second year in a row that they did that.
Yes. So just the logic real quick for the Wizards is they've been really good when they've had two versatile forwards in with Kelly Oubre and Otto Porter. If you add Ennis to the mix, you can have those types of lineups in more often. They need an upgrade at backup point guard. That's Evans. And Evans can play the wing sometimes too and open up some other lineups and make this team a lot more versatile going into the playoffs.
I think it's a good trade for the Wizards. By the way, while we're here, does anyone have any interest in Brandon Wright? $6 million expiring contract?
I don't think we were ever here.
just for clarification, Grizzlies, are you not looking to use that to take on money for 2018-19? Because if you're looking to take on money for 2018-19, your friends in Denver might be interested in talking to you about Darrell Arthur.
No, I mean, again, we're buddy up against the tax next year, so that's a non-starter.
Ooh.
All right, how about Wes Matthews in Dallas? Another guy who I think could potentially get moved here.
Yeah, I mean, we don't feel urgency necessarily to move him, but we're listening if there's interest in out there. We're still listening. We continue to listen.
West Byers, East Byers, any interest in West? I mean, well, so like, what would you be willing, Dallas, to take back worse salary for Matthews, making similar money, and then, you know, hope to pick up an asset as well? That's the construction you would be talking about here.
I'm not sure exactly what we're thinking. I mean, that's why we're just willing to listen. I mean, is there anyone out there who's really motivated to get Wes Matthews? Maybe Denver sees him as a wing defender upgrade.
Well, Denver is definitely intrigued, but the structure of a deal is going to be complicated because we're worried that Matthews, as talented as he is going to pick up his player option. So, like, yeah, we would be interested. Maybe how are you feeling about Wilson Chandler? Because that is a deal where it's, you save money for next year. Like, the difference between their player options is, I think, about $6 million. So that's pretty meaningful for you guys. That, to me, is not enough to get rid of a first round pick, but we have a bunch of other things. You guys collect point guards like nobody's business. So would you be interested in Emmanuel Mudiay, something like that?
So you're saying we're giving you a first round pick to do this deal?
No, we're saying Wes Matthews for Wilson Chandler and Emmanuel Mudiay.
Yeah. Or you could hold on to Chandler and throw in, do Arthur and Fareed, and then, you know, throw in something more support Denver as well.
Yeah, sure. If you were interested in that, but we thought you wanted more functional salary. If you're down with something like that with Fareed, absolutely.
No, I think I like the Chandler Moutier construction of this. I mean, Moutier might cause Rick Carlisle to, I mean, there's not really any hair left to tear out, so I don't know what the expression would be at this point. But
don't you already have Dennis Smith though? Like, isn't Moutier worth more to a team that might be
they
looking
could flip
for a solution?
It.
He might be someone. Yeah, someone else if you come in here, but I mean, Rick Carlisle has never been afraid to play three point guards at a time.
I'll tell you, as Denver, why Moutier is there, because he has the smallest amount of team control of him, Beasley, and Wancho, who we think we can use in other deals, especially if we're not really getting out of. We're not really getting out of cap here, but having that upgrade opens the door for only costing Moutier to do something else. And we would use that roster spot.
Hawks here, you know, I think you'd be really worried about the tax next year. You're taking on more money in a deal like that with Wes Matthews. We could just offer you some straight up salary relief for Arthur and Fareed. We've got expiring contracts. We could include Kent Bazemore in a deal going back, and then maybe you could send us some assets. What do you think of that?
Well, so
although Bazemore doesn't expire either, but we could also do Chandler as well and throw in guys like Bellinelli or Luke Babbitt, Malcolm Delaney, Ersan Ilyasova. So we could you could get you off of a fair amount of money that way. You get Bazemore back as well, and then you know we could pick up some of those disused guys on your bench or first rounders. Which you know, I mean, you've got so many young guys anyway. What good is another first rounder for you?
So what concerns me about we think Matthews is a better fit to defend threes than Kent Bazemore. Bazemore's, you know, he's a capable defender, but we already have Gary Harris for some of that stuff, and Kent Bazemore has an extra year on his contract, whereas our other stuff lines up. And so having Wes Matthews who knows, he might not even pick up his option. We don't know exactly where that's going, and we could figure something out. Maybe we could even get him to decline his option and then pay him less money for a longer period of time if things work out. So I mean, with Bazemore, he doesn't bring it. I mean, if you wanted to talk about having Torian Prince in this conversation, then we could have something, but I don't think you want to move him.
No, we don't. He's a part of our future. And would you have any more interest in the Orlando guys than Wes Matthews if you were talking about that type of construction?
You'd be like Jonathan Simmons?
Yeah, John Simmons certainly could be a part of it.
John Simmons definitely interests us because he's reasonable. He's under contract for another 2 years, so he could be. He's not perfect, certainly, but what would be your idea there? Because we would, if we're going to give up a first round pick, we're going to be offloading some serious salary, because that's really the only that's our way of making that happen. But you know, there's a possibility of doing one of our smaller assets for something there. What do you have a thought?
Well, I think we would be willing to do Evan Fournier and John Simmons, take back, you know, whatever dead salary you want to send for that, and if you also throw in Hernan Gomez and one other asset, I think we'd be willing to do that.
What about a much smaller deal, which we would like much better, which is like Darrell Arthur and Moutier for Jonathan Simmons? You guys get another option at point guard who is cost controlled and team controlled for another year. Jonathan Simmons, you know, you're going to have to look for an answer there. And Darrell Arthur, I think, could be a part of your rotation next year. I think he could be a useful power forward for you.
Yeah, I mean, he's got this weird illness, but no, we would do that. Absolutely. Darrell Arthur for John Simmons and Moutier. I think that's the type of move to give us another option at point guard. This isn't a great point guard draft. Don't know if we're going to be re-signing Elfrid Payton or not. And I think Moutier, despite some of the issues that he's had in his career, still, you know, has a little more potential at the high end.
Someone I could see John Hammond buying on as well, just as a potential player.
Yeah. All right, we'll do that.
Okay.
Let's rack it up. So John Simmons making about $6 million this year and next year, and then he has a non-guarantee that third year, and then Darrell Arthur making a little under $8 million this year and next year, and then we get Moutier as well. Yeah, we'll do it. John Simmons is a little older. I don't think he really helps us. We really got to rebuild and just get some talent in the pipeline.
Peanut Gallery?
I like that trade for Denver a lot.
I like it for both, but I like it for the Magic more, I think. You know, just a way to get a play with Moutier's potential. It's a fairly low cost.
Yeah, I mean, I think the argument might be that maybe we could have done better for Jonathan Simmons in a similar construction of taking on bad salary and trading him away as well. But I think Moutier, especially just because we have nothing at point guard, and he's got some potential. That seems like it works. And I think Denver, it helps them actually get someone who can play some defense on the wing, and also gives them insurance if and when Will Barton were to leave.
I think it helps the Nuggets, but my concern is that they might still have to make a bigger move to avoid the luxury tax next year.
Yeah,
and maybe it's not worth it to make this incremental move when you still need to do something bigger anyway.
Well, I don't think they see Moutier as being an answer there. And actually, he might not necessarily be the next one, but I will mention that, especially with this trade happening, Will Barton, we don't have to move him. We think that he's still an important part of the team. But if somebody's interested in him and makes an offer, like, is interested, but we're a little bit concerned after what Tyreke Evans got that there isn't much interest. But maybe Boston, you want to talk?
We have our heart set on somebody else.
That's fine. You can have your heart broken and come back to us.
I don't know if this is a good time to jump to it, but Celtics here, we're interested in Rodney Hood.
Okay. Jazz listening? What are you offering?
Just trying to get a feel for your motivations. How do you value Marcus Morris, who's under team control at a reasonable salary next year?
We just added Nikola Mirotic. We see Morris as primarily a four, so I think he's not of great need to us at this point.
Yeah, so we're thinking maybe then something along the lines of our own first round pick for Hood, but would maybe need a touch more.
In terms of maybe a future second round pick from us?
Yeah, something along those lines. Or, we like Jonas Jerebko. We had him. He could potentially help us.
Yeah, I mean, Jonas still has a role to play, we think, for us. If we are training Derek Favors, and therefore, he's going to be probably our primary backup at power forward now that we've traded Joe Johnson. So I don't know about including him.
Have you traded Derek Favors?
We haven't.
Not yet. Okay.
But it's something that's on the table at this point.
So what would that second rounder be? If it's our own first rounder for Hood, what would that second rounder be we have coming back?
So we'd rather do 2019.
And we could put like a top 22 protection on this pick, just in case thing.
Well, what does that become then in future years?
Let's leave it as top 20 the rest of the years, and then two second rounders.
Yeah, I suppose. We can do that.
Okay, I think we'll do that.
Well, is there any other interest in Rodney Hood?
So the price is you're giving up a 2019 second and getting back Boston's 2018 first this year?
Yeah, so pretty much any first would beat that, at least any 2018 first. I mean, Rodney Hood, 25 years old, has had some very promising seasons. This not necessarily among them so far.
Yeah, and so, some very promising quarters and thirds of seasons.
Yes, particularly those. I would have to, someone else would have to jump in. I wonder if the Kings would be interested. I know Dave Yeager is quite a fan of Rodney Hood.
It's funny, if it were me on the Spurs, I actually think that would be fascinating, but I don't think that's a move they would make.
Well, they would certainly have pretty good intel on Rodney Hood, given the connection between those front offices.
Right.
And that's surprising to me that it always is with the Spurs, just laughing. I think you're being realistic here, Danny, that they are not generally particularly aggressive.
But I don't know. I think the idea of Hood, especially as protection with Danny Green coming up and everything else, I think that would be the kind of proactive move I would hope that RC would make. But at the same point, that's not really what they've done, especially for a guy who's about to get paid.
All right. Well, at this point, I think, Boston, you have a deal.
Great. We look forward to bringing in Rodney Hood and seeing how the rotation shakes out with him and Marcus Smart. And we can go in the summer with in a position of strength with both of those restricted free agents. And if we get to the point we can only afford one, we can see which deal is most advantageous to us. And maybe the market's cool enough that we can afford to re-sign both.
So that's going to do it for part two of the mock trade deadline. Check back tomorrow for part three, where we wrap up all of the trades that we made and review what we learned about the league from this exercise and what we think the climate will be for the real trades that are coming this trade deadline. Thanks again to Draft for sponsoring, appropriately enough, this All-Star Draft edition of the pod. You can download the app anytime to play daily fantasy basketball with a snake draft format. Search Draft in your app store, join a game in minutes, or play right from your computer on draft.com. For limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit, but you got to use my promo code CAPSPACE. That's right, you play a real money game for free. Use the promo code CAPSPACE on your first deposit.